Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
God is doing some good things here today. I really believe that. And we just need to continue to allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to have His way. You know, the Holy Spirit, one of part of His job description is helper. Aren't you glad we don't have to do this alone? That we have a helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and He helps us. And some of the stuff we're going to talk about this morning, I'm glad that we don't have to do this alone, and we have a helper. Before we actually get into what I'm going to speak on today, we're going to talk about the benefits of a clear conscience, and there is an outline in your bulletin this morning, but I also want to draw your attention to another insert that's in your bulletin this morning. And something for you to be praying for. And as men, we want to draw your attention to this. And as women, it's something that you can be praying for as well for our men. I want to just, and I purposely have put this at this point in the service. Earlier this year in January, during our week of prayer, there were a number of things that we were praying into, and it was interesting that one of the things that came up a number of times during that week of prayer was praying for purity, praying for purity for our men, but not just our men, but for women as well. We were inviting people to share their prayer requests, and it was interesting how many requests came in saying that this is an area of struggle in my life. I want to be free. I want to be set free from some of this stuff. And we know that we live in a very sexually charged world, and it's not getting any easier. In fact, it's likely going to continue to get worse. And so it was interesting as we were praying into that this early in the year. This is the first time I've mentioned anything about this publicly, but it is one of our prayer points for 2017. A couple of weeks ago, I was aware of this series that you have this little brochure in front of you right now. It's called Conquer Series. I was made aware of this series just not too long ago, two or three months ago. And I thought I'd love to be able to maybe bring this into our church at some point and just invite our men to be able to be part of this journey. Well, unbeknowing, God was already kind of doing some work behind the scenes. And there's a ministry in the valley called Malachi Mans, who some of you in our church have actually been part of in the past, where it's intended to help fathers with their sons and stuff like that. And there's courses that they offer once or twice a year. Well, this ministry, they got a hold of this Conquer Series ministry as well and got onto it. And so starting in March, there's going to be 5 Saturday evenings where they are going to host this series, Malachi Man, and it's going to be held over at the Bay Community Church, which is just around the corner from us. And they've extended the invitation to the men of our valley, churches in the valley, for men to participate and come and just receive some of the tools that can help. Because this is a battle that, I think most would agree, it's not something that can be fought alone. And so one of the little lines here, it says, this is helpful for all men, whether struggling with porn or not. And there's a little bit of a paragraph there that you can look at. We've got a little trailer. This program, Conquer Series, is quite, they call it a dramatic presentation, and then there's discussions each week and so on. It's intended for ages 18 and up. If there was anyone younger, there may be some exception for it. But so we're going to run that clip right now, if we could, and then I'll just make one more word before we go further. We attended a church back in Manitoba back in, it was the end of October, beginning of November, and the when I went to the church renewal conference, and this particular congregation was planning to have this series in their church coming up. It was a couple of weeks later, I guess it was. They had over 1,000 men take the course, and it was quite an amazing experience for these guys to really join together as brothers and say, "We're gonna do something about this." And I want to encourage our guys to consider being part of this. It's there's a sign up there. There's a on their website, Malachi Man. It's local. There's an email. There's questions there as well if you need to get a hold of anybody. And so we just wanted to share that. And I just felt that in many ways this is somewhat in keeping with the word that God's been giving us the last couple of Sundays, where we've been looking at what it means to have a clear conscience. Because I think this is something that we really need God's help with, and that is one area. That's not going to be the main focus of my message today. But if you have your notes, a little outline, we're going to just take a few minutes before we look into communion together today. But Acts chapter 24, verse 16 is the scripture that we spent some time with last Sunday, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the midst of some tremendous adversity that he was dealing with, he said these words. He said, "I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." And this was just a word that really kind of resonated in my heart a few weeks ago when I was going through preparing these messages. And last week we spent some time talking about how to keep our conscience clear, how we can have a clear conscience, and where it all starts, and so on. But before we do that, let me just give you a little bit of the context again. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was in these chapters 21 to 24, was experiencing some tremendous adversity. Things were not going well in his life. He was experiencing all kinds of false accusations, many false accusations. And in the midst of all of that adversity, Paul refused to give in to giving up. He refused to give in to dishonoring God. He refused to become bitter and resentful of all the people that were turning against him. And we see Paul determining to honor God, do the right thing at all times. And so that's kind of the challenge, the call to all of us this morning, is that we would make that determination to do the right thing at all times. And part of our conscience helps us with that process. Our conscience is like a guide. We talked about that last Sunday. Our conscience is a guide that helps us choose right and wrong. Unfortunately, as we said last Sunday, our conscience sometimes can be misguided. Sometimes our conscience can be informed and be led and directed by the wrong things. And so part of our conscience getting right with God starts, number one, just a few things. I think it's in your notes. You can see some of the things that we looked at last Sunday. Number one, in order to keep our conscience clear, first of all, we need to draw near to God, draw near to Him. The closer we get to Him, the closer we experience God in our life and His cleansing, the better off we're going to be. The second thing we looked at last Sunday, we said we need to pursue righteousness. And I've just jotted this scripture in, if you wanted to write it into your notes again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 22, where, and this kind of relates a little bit to the video series that we saw earlier here, or the video we just watched, where Paul told Timothy, he said, "Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness." And What we focused on last Sunday was that along with our fleeing, we must also be pursuing. And that's where a lot of people get into trouble. They find themselves only fleeing things like porn or sexual addictions, but they're not pursuing. And so part of the call to a clear conscience involves a big part of keeping our conscience clear is not just our fleeing, but it's what we pursue. And so a great scripture for you to hang on there as well, 2 Timothy 2. The third thing we looked at last week was how that we need to renew our conscience with God's word. We talk about this whole idea of how our conscience sometimes becomes misguided. The only way that our conscience can get guided properly is with the word of God. If we leave our conscience to the ways of this world, if we leave our conscience to being directed by education or media or culture, we're going to be in trouble every time. How many know what I'm saying? We're going to be in trouble. And we must be willing to allow our conscience, which that God-given spirit within us, to be directed by the word of God. In your notes, it says, God's word needs to inform how I live my life. We need to allow God's word to direct and guide and inform our conscience and how we live our life. The last thing we talked about last Sunday was we need to pay attention to God's voice. We need to hear God's voice. We need to be led by the Spirit and allow Him to have His way in our life. And we need to be paying attention and listening to those whispers. You know, I love it. As we were singing this morning, I just felt the Holy Spirit, just there was little whispers He was speaking to my heart, and just I felt His presence in a very strong way. Again, we're going to give a little extra time to the communion table this morning, but I want to just for a few minutes talk about the benefits of a clear conscience. The benefits. And I want to say to start with that a clear conscience starts with Jesus. We talked about that a little bit last week. It all starts with Him. I don't know if you caught the one line on the video clip that we saw here a minute ago. He said, working harder is not going to help. Did you get that? You know, just working harder, just trying harder is not going to help us when it comes to overcoming sin. It all starts with Jesus. It all starts with drawing near to Him. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the songs we sang about today that Joel and the team led us in. Worthy is the Lamb of God. And that's our focus this morning around communion. Hebrews 9, verse 14 says, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse our conscience? How many are thankful that we can have a cleansed conscience today? That our conscience can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. How much more? Again, it's not trying harder. It's not our own efforts. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, cleanses our conscience from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. One of the key things that helps to empower us to really serve God with all of our hearts is when we allow Him to do His cleansing work in our life. John chapter 1, 29. When Jesus came on the scene, just before His baptism, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said these profound words. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is no other way for our sins to be removed from us than through Jesus Christ. And John looked upon Jesus and saw Him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How many are glad that your sin has been taken, has been removed, has been placed upon Him? And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so our sins have been removed from us. So good. We no longer have to be bound with our sin. And so quickly, just some benefits. And I'm going to give you three. There's many. And in fact, if you wanted to add to the list, I would encourage you to do so. The first benefit of a clear conscience Number one is peace with God. Peace with God. You think back to the story of Adam and Eve. And one of the things that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, one of the things that happened was they became separated in their relationship with God. And so part of the Bible says they were actually naked, and they ended up having to put a covering upon them. And as a result of that covering, and one of the things that God has right from the very beginning, from when sin entered into the human race, God has done everything possible so that we could come back into fellowship with God. Adam and Eve, their relationship with God was broken. And through Jesus Christ, God has allowed our relationship with God, our peace with God, to be restored. A couple of quick scriptures here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And all these scriptures are in your notes, so if you wanted to look these up, maybe in your small group or wherever this week, you can. He says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand." That word justified, simply the easy way to remember what the word justified means, it simply, when God looks upon us through the blood of Jesus Christ, it simply, the simple way to remember justified means it's just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. That's how God sees you. When you are covered, when you receive his forgiveness, when you receive his grace, he looks upon you and he sees you just as if you had never sinned. Now, that's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Because we all know we've sinned, right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen. And we all know what it means to be separated from God. But through Jesus, through his shed blood, we enter into this beautiful thing called grace, where it's as we receive his life and forgiveness, it's as though we've never sinned. That's how he sees us. That's how he views us, as though we have never sinned. And that's one of the foundation stones to being at peace with God. I'm so thankful that we can have his peace. One of the things that, and many of you probably can relate to this, that when you first came to Christ, you began to realize that I'm forgiven. You hear the story again and again. People say, "I don't know what it is, but I just feel such great peace in my life." How many know what I'm talking about? You begin to say, I've never felt this peace before. And it's the peace of God. It's the peace with God. It also leads to peace with our brothers, peace with others. There's so many benefits that come from allowing God to have his way in our life. And so the first benefit, it's an obvious one, of a clear conscience is peace with God. The second benefit is freedom. Freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from death. Freedom from accusation. One of the tricks of the enemy is he loves to accuse. You sin, you screw up, you mess up. One of the strategies of Satan is to continually accuse. He loves to point his bony finger in your chest and say, "You are a dirty, rotten, worthless sinner, scoundrel." And we know what that's like. We know what those feelings are like. But through Jesus Christ, he's come to set us free. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation." Everyone say it with me. No condemnation. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's a good word. That's one of the benefits of having our consciences cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Freedom from accusation. Colossians 1, going on a little further, in the same chapter, first of all, he talked about peace with God. Listen to what he says in verse 21, Colossians 1:21. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That's where you once were, alienated, enemies. Can any of you remember a time in your life when you were an enemy of God? At least you were separated from him? He says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through his death. And I love this. To present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Not a bad deal, is it? Once you were alienated, an enemy of God, and then through Jesus, he takes you and he offers you up before God and he presents you. It's like, you know, like it's like he takes you and he puts you before God, the Father, and he presents you. It says he presents you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Again, it's hard for us to get our head around that. Because we all know, even after you've given your heart to Jesus, we still struggle with sin, right? We still struggle with doing wrong things. We still struggle with disobedience and the whole thing that sin does. That's why, again, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why, again, we need to be constantly being renewed by the Word of God. That's why we constantly need to continue to come before him in confession and repentance and just receiving forgiveness, keeping that relationship right with God. But I love the way he puts it here. He says, you are free. And he presents us holy. Sometimes we just can't. It's who you are now in Christ. It's who you are in Jesus, without blemish and free from accusation. And then one more verse here. Jesus himself said this. He says, he, in John 8:36, in your notes, it says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, friends, forgiveness is the first step to living free. Forgiveness is the first step to experiencing a clear conscience. It's part of the drawing near to God. And as we do that, his peace settles in, and God frees us from our sin. He sets us free from accusation. He sets us free from condemnation. The song that Joel led us in earlier, our chains come off, we are set free. And it's freedom that God has called us to, and we get to have that wonderful benefit of being free. One more obvious benefit. Again, there's others. These are just three to kind of get you thinking. Do some of your own study. The third benefit is joy. And I've put the word everlasting joy, and we'll get to this in a moment. But I was also thinking about that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, and you are filled with unspeakable joy. Have you ever been so excited about something that you just didn't know what to say, how to put it into words? Has that ever happened to you? Like, it was so good. It was so good. What you've experienced was so good. That, the day you got married, whatever, it was so good. You just didn't know how to put it into words. Oh, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. It's so good. That's the joy that God describes. That when you come to Jesus, when you receive Christ into your life, when you receive his forgiveness, when you receive peace, when you receive freedom, it's like you can't put it into words. He calls it unspeakable joy, and yet it's the kind of joy that we must speak about. It's the kind of joy that we must talk about. It's the kind of joy that we must share with our friends and neighbors and coworkers and so on. Like, People should say, why are you so joyful? Why is it that you just seem to be so at peace? Well, I'm glad you asked. You get a chance to share with them. Unspeakable joy. You know, in the old days, and there are some here this morning that can remember this song. It's probably in our hymn book. We used to sing this song, an old hymn a long time ago called Joy Unspeakable. And we're not going to try it this morning. But it's a song that celebrates the unspeakable joy that God gives to us when we receive Him. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7 says, instead of your shame, how many of us can relate to shame? We know what that's like. We know what it's like to look back on our lives with regret. We look back and we see times in our life where we know what shame and guilt is all about. Again, one of the benefits, one of the gifts of God is that He's come to set us free from all of that. But He says, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. This was a prophetic word given to God's people who had fallen in sin and had fallen away from God. And God was saying to them that there's a time coming when you are going to be restored. You see, the heart of God from the Old Testament, from the time of Adam and Eve to the present day, the heart of God has always been to restore people. The heart of God has always been to see relationship renewed, to see relationship with God whole and beautiful and what God intended it to be right from the time of the garden. And God is saying that when I restore you, what you thought was shame, He says, I'm going to give you a double portion of joy to make up, to just basically wipe out all of that shame. You know, God will always outdo Himself so that you and I can be restored. Isn't that good? He will always go way beyond our expectations so that we can experience all that He has for us. And He wants us to to live free. He wants us to live with a clear conscience. He wants us to overcome the shame of our sin, the guilt of our sin. And we showed the video of purity and the whole issue of pornography that's like a curse on our men today in today's world. God wants our men to be free. God wants our families to be restored and not to be destroyed by this horrible curse that's hitting our culture today. And it's been around for a long, long time. It's accelerating. And I'm glad that we can be free. And we can help each other in this process. We're going to close with this. I love the prayer of David in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, following his sin, his adultery with Bathsheba, David, the Bible described him as the man after God's own heart. And I think a lot of us can relate to David because that's our desire. We want to be a man of God. We want to be a man after God's own heart. And yet here was a man who sinned, terrible sin. And yet he also knew where to turn. And in Psalm 51, he cried out to God. He said in verse 10, he cried out, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I'm so glad that we can call out to God this morning and we can pray the same prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart and do not cast me from your presence. You see, David was praying because in such a way, because he already knew that as he turned to God, that God would not turn him away. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. He was probably singing that song, Fall Afresh on Me, because he knew that he needed the help of the Holy Spirit to go forward. And then he said these words. He said, and restore unto me the joy of my, what?
Salvation.
My salvation. I love that prayer because it's a prayer that you and I can pray this morning, even as we come into this time of communion. Because our conscience, a clean conscience, begins with Jesus, begins with confession, begins with acknowledging our sin. David acknowledged his sin. You can read about it earlier in that same chapter, Psalm 51, where he acknowledged his iniquity. He acknowledged his sin. He confessed his sin. But he also knew that there was a God who was there to restore him. And there's a God, our God this morning is here to restore us, to restore you. What our world needs more of is people who will walk in their freedom, who will live out that peace of God in their life. God does not want you to have to leave here this morning feeling shame and guilt for your sins. He's done all the work for us. He's taken it upon himself. That's why we look to the cross. That's why we come in remembrance on a communion Sunday like today. Pastor Joel, last Sunday night, we had communion. We had a dinner and service and communion last Sunday night. He talked about how that Jesus is a good shepherd. How many are thankful for that this morning? And he talked about the thief and the robbers, Joel was talking about this, who would love to come in and steal and rob from the sheep. And thankfully this morning, we have a God, a shepherd, who wants to, he doesn't want us to be exposed to the thief, the robber. And right, one of the things that Satan will rob you and I of is our joy, of our peace. How many know that's like to have been robbed of peace, of joy, of freedom? And today we get to celebrate this again, this morning. Some of you got to have communion last Sunday night. You get to have it again tonight or this morning. It's okay. It's no problem doubling up. Get all you can from God. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're going to close, and Daniela is going to lead us in a song we've been learning around here these last few months, and it just simply says, "Oh, come to the altar." And it just reminds us of, again, that invitation. And Jesus says we can come as we are. We come as we are. And communion is a great time, once again, just to say, Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for your peace. Thank you that you've set me free from this condemnation. I want to say, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, then this is a great day to do that. How many would agree with me on that? You don't have to wait. I would say sometimes we wait too long. Sometimes we go home and we think about it too long and we sort of put it off. The Bible says now is the day of your salvation. So my encouragement to you would be today would be a great day if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't given your life over to him, that today would be the day you would say, Jesus, I open my life to you. I ask you to set me free. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I confess my sin to you. I confess my ugliness to you. and I receive your gift. You see, salvation is a gift. That's why you don't have to go home and try and clean up your life. In fact, that's the worst thing to do. Don't go home and try and clean up and then come back to Jesus. Come as you are. Give your life to him today as you are. And then allow his Holy Spirit to begin to do that work of transformation. I'm so glad that he takes us as we are. Daniela, if you could just begin to lead us in the song, and just I'd like us to catch some of the lyrics before we even move into communion. If you can just begin to. Thank you, Lord. If you know the song, just close your eyes and worship. If you know it, just follow the words. Asking us to do. We're going to come to the altar. We're going to come to the communion tables. There's one up, two up in the balcony, and there's down here. And for some of you, this might be your very first time of ever receiving communion as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. Maybe in the past you've done it just because other people were doing it. But today you're going to do it because you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. And he accepts you. He says, come. Come with your regrets. Come with your brokenness. And allow him to do that cleansing. The cup you're going to receive in a moment is just a reminder of his shed blood. His blood was shed on the cross for you, for me. Piece of bread you're going to receive is a reminder that his body was broken for you. And we get to receive this with thanksgiving today. The Bible says whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, he said, do it in remembrance of me. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. And this is one of the most beautiful things we get to do as a church, because it just reminds us that we can't do this work ourselves. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And we get to experience the benefits. How many are thankful for the benefits today? Amen. The benefits. We live with the benefits. Problem is, a lot of people, they keep falling back into guilt and shame. I want you to come, and as you drink that cup, say, thank you, Jesus, for all these benefits that you've given to me. Are we thankful today? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I was thinking about this little thought. Can you imagine, like, I want you just to kind of pretend now, because it's really not pretend, but I want you to just work with me for a moment before we go. Let's suppose that all of you here this morning, standing here in this room, that you had a death sentence over you for your, just even telling a little lie or taking a cookie from the cookie jar. And that sentence was going to be carried out, say, this week. You've all come here this morning, and someone with authority is able to say to you, you know what? Someone has paid the price for you. And that death sentence has been lifted from you. And, you know, this was the last resort. This was the place of last resort. And today you've come, and you've been set free. Now, I can just imagine if that scenario was something that actually was happening. In some ways it is. You would be going out of this place with great joy, right? Unspeakable joy. And in many ways, that's what has happened. Because someone put it this way, Jesus died on the cross and he took what we deserved, right? In exchange, he has given to us what he has already paid for. And we get to live with the benefits of what he's paid for. He died for what you deserve. He died for what I deserve. So that we can enjoy the benefits of what he paid for. How many like to enjoy a meal on someone else's tab? Has that ever happened? Some of you might go out for lunch today and might enjoy the benefits of that meal on someone else's tab. It's good, isn't it? Right? Well, Jesus has offered us all these benefits on his tab. And that's what we get to go home with today. And so be encouraged as you go. And keep coming to the altar. Keep experiencing all he has for you. If anyone does need prayer this morning, you'd like someone just to pray with you about a specific need that you're dealing with, maybe in your life, your family, your home, your circumstances, I'd invite you to come. And there'll be some of our prayer team here will be willing to help pray with you before you go. So God bless you, everybody. Why don't you give out some hugs to the people around you? Would you do that? Just take a minute. Just hug someone by you. Bless them. Encourage them. Bless them today. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.